if you see my reflection in the snow-covered hills. Well, a landslide will bring you down. Oh, a landslide will bring you down.
The whole station is falling apart. I just knocked off. Where did that? Oh, there it is. The pin that holds the microphone just went flying onto the floor.
Group effort here.
Oh my goodness gracious. Thanks, Liam. Let's see if we can get this microphone back where it's supposed to be. You know, it was loose the other day, and this goes here, but it has to go through. Oh, I see. It goes through here. Hang on, folks. We'll get it together. Maybe. This is not really that big of a screw. Let's see. All right. Well, maybe I'll wait with this. I'll put some music on, and then I'll see if I can address that. All right. We're going to start off with something from the wonderful past. And it's new to the station. And let's see, 2, 3, 4, 5. Let's try that. It's loading, it's loading, it's loading. Okay. Okay. All right, so of course the board wasn't changed back to the normal setting it should be. Let's see if we can get this right. Okay. Okay. Huh, well, this is just charming. What's going on here? Okay, so it looks like this microphone brace may hold up. Hopefully it will. All right, so Jimi Hendrix Experience from the Los Angeles Forum, April 26, 1969. All right, that was Spanish Castle Magic. We could use some of that. All right, so public transit versus walking. If you take public transportation, good for you. You're helping to save the environment and money too. But if you aren't getting all the exercise you should be, you might want to consider walking directly to your destination instead of using public transit, especially now with all the lines closing and changing every other minute. I know my friend has to constantly figure out whether he can use the green line or the red line. It's horrible. Depending upon the distance, once you factor in the time it takes you to make your way to the T-stop, wait, and then get to your final destination, emphasis on the wait, walking the whole trip can often be faster. And even when it isn't, you're getting good exercise and saving even more money. For example, if it takes 45 minutes to walk where you want to go instead of 30 minutes using the T, you'll get 3/4 of an hour of exercise and fresh air for just an extra 15 minutes of your time. And that's a real healthy deal. Public service message from WMFO in Medford, Tufts Educational Radio. Well, now that they've got the green line right here at Tufts, I suppose a lot of folks are very happy about that. So that's a good thing. So All right, so I want to share a letter. This is a letter written by Alan M. Garber. It doesn't say who exactly he is, but you'll get the gist of it. It's kind of an important letter, what's been going on in our community here. All right, by the way, this is Joyce the Voice. We're on the Voicemobile, that's the program's name, and we're here at Tufts University in Medford. All right, so this is dated Tuesday, February 20th. That was the date that it was sent, but not by him. Dear members of the Harvard community, a few groups purporting to speak on behalf of Harvard affiliates recently circulated a flagrantly anti-Semitic cartoon in a post on social media channels. The cartoon, included in a longer post, depicted what appeared to be an Arab man and a black man with nooses around their necks. The nooses are held by a hand imprinted with the Star of David, and a dollar sign appears in the middle of the star. Online condemnation of this trope-filled image was swift, and Harvard promptly issued a statement condemning the posted cartoon. While the groups associated with the posting or sharing of the cartoon have since sought to distance themselves from it in various ways, the damage remains and our condemnation stands. Oops, oh, how did I lose this? No, that's okay. Let's get back to that. Perpetuating vile and hateful anti-Semitic tropes or otherwise engaging in inflammatory rhetoric or sharing images that demean people on the basis of their identity is precisely the opposite of what this moment demands of us. As members of an academic community, we can and we will disagree, sometimes vehemently, on matters of public concern and controversy, including hotly contested issues relating to the war in Gaza and Israel, and the longstanding Israeli-Palestinian conflict. But it is grossly irresponsible and profoundly offensive when that disagreement devolves into forms of expression that demonize individuals because of their religion, race, nationality, or other aspects of their identity. The members of the corporation join me in unequivocally condemning the posting and sharing of the cartoon in question. The university will review the situation to better understand who was responsible for the posting and to determine what further steps are warranted. Reckless provocation draws attention without advancing understanding. Jewish, Israeli, Muslim, Palestinian, and Arab members of our community have reported feeling targeted, rejected, and ostracized. The war and its effects on the lives of people directly affected by the conflict demand our profound concern and sympathy. We must approach one another with compassion, open minds, and mutual respect. Our discourse grounded in facts and supported by reasoned argument. Sincerely, Alan M. Garber. So there was something that came up, let's see, Harvard University statement. This was February 19th. It said, the matter is being reviewed by the university and is being referred to the Harvard College Administrative Board, which is responsible for the application and enforcement of undergraduate academic regulations and social conduct. Harvard rejects anti-Semitism in all of its forms. We are determined to combat any such hate and bias in our community. Okay, so that's one thing I wanted to share with you. Now, there's an article, that is written by Dara Horn. She's an author, and I have just, with my book group, finished reading a book that she wrote, People Love Dead Jews. Quite a attention-getting title. And in this book, she shares her very scholarly examination of quite a few things, including the great appeal for the Diary of Anne Frank and visiting the house and a community that was in China and a non-Jew who was targeted. It's just all these, the whole thing about Ellis Island and were names purposely changed so that people wouldn't have to deal with anti-Semitism names, Jewish sounding names to regular names. Anyway, she goes into examining, including Shakespeare and Shylock. It's fascinating reading, not light, but brilliant. Anyway, this is an article that she wrote. It's called The Return. It's a long article, but I'm only going to share some of it. Why the most educated people in America fall for anti-Semitic lies by Dara Horn. At Harvard and elsewhere, an old falsehood is capturing new minds. You can go onto the Atlantic site and find this article. It's really worth reading. It's very well researched. Let me just share a little bit. Let me get my glasses on because really, I guess I could try to make it a little bit bigger. But as I said, it's a long and very well written article. And I'm not going to read the whole thing, but just to give you a taste of how she says. By now, December's congressional hearing about anti-Semitism at universities, during which the presidents of Harvard, the University of Pennsylvania, and MIT all claimed that calls for the genocide of Jews would violate the university's policies only, quote-unquote, depending on the context, unquote, is already a well-worn meme, I guess you say. Surely, there is nothing left to say about this higher education train wreck after the fallout brought down two of those university presidents and spawned 1,000 op-eds, except that all the punditry about diversity and free speech and criticism of Israel has extravagantly missed the point. The problem was not that Jewish students on American university campuses didn't want free speech or that they didn't want to hear criticism of Israel. Instead, they didn't want people vandalizing Jewish student organizations' buildings or breaking or urinating on the building's windows. They didn't want people tearing their mezuzahs down from their dorm room doors. They didn't want their college instructors spouting anti-Semitic lies and humiliating them in class. They didn't want their posters defaced with Hitler caricatures or their dorm rooms plastered with fuck Jews. They didn't want people punching them in the face or beating them with a stick or threatening them with death for being Jewish. At world-class American colleges and universities, all of this happened and more. I was not merely an observer of this spectacle. I've been serving on now former Harvard President Claudine Gay's Anti-Semitism Advisory Committee, convened after the October 7th Hamas massacre in Israel, and amid student responses to it. I was asked to participate because I am a Harvard alumna who wrote a book about anti-Semitism called People Love Dead Jews. As soon as my participation became public, I was inundated with messages from Jewish students seeking help. They approached me with their stories after having already tried many other avenues, bewildered not only by what they'd experienced, but also by how many people dismissed or denied those experiences. In Congress, all three university presidents offered some version of the platitudes that, quote-unquote, hatred comes from ignorance and, quote-unquote, education is the answer. But if hatred comes from ignorance, why were America's best universities full of this very specific ignorance? And why were so many people trying to justify it, explain it away, or even deny it? Our era's 10-second news cycle is no match for these questions because the answers are deep and ancient, buried beneath the oldest of assumptions about what we think we know. The through line of anti-Semitism for thousands of years has been the denial of truth and the promotion of lies. These lies range in scope from conspiracy theories to Holocaust denial to the blood libel to the currently popular claims that Zionism is racism, that Jews are settler colonists, and that Jewish civilization isn't indigenous to the land of Israel. These lies are all part of the foundational big lie that anti-Semitism itself is a righteous act of resistance against evil, because Jews are collectively evil and have no right to exist. Today, the big lie is winning. Well, you get the gist here. She goes into a lot more. I don't know what more of this I could share with you, but let me just come down to this part. It wasn't just universities. Crowds cheering for Intifada gathered in cities around the country, shouting down and disrupting train stations and airport access roads. Lest their support for Hamas be mistaken for support for Palestinians in general or for peace, U.S. rally organizers named their efforts floods. Flood Seattle for Palestine, flood Manhattan for Gaza. After Operation Al-Aqsa Flood, Hamas's name for its October 7th butchery. The enthusiasm was hard to contain. Some people tore down or vandalized posters of Israeli hostages. Others targeted synagogues and Jewish-owned businesses, spray-painting them with swastikas and slogans like Israel's only religion is capitalism. In New York City, a Jewish teacher's online photo holding a sign that said, "I stand with Israel," was enough to prompt a school-wide protest that devolved into a riot, during which students destroyed school property. The teacher had to be moved to another part of the building to avoid the teenage mob screaming, "Free Palestine." In Los Angeles, a man invaded a Jewish family's home before dawn with a knife, breaking into the parents' bedroom while their four children slept, screaming, "Kill Jewish people." When police arrested him, he shouted, "Free Palestine." It's pretty scary. But there are nuances to sadistic barbarity against Jews, we are told. And sometimes, this is hard to read, gang raping Jewish women is actually a movement for human rights. Chas v'shalom. It hardly seems fair to call people anti-Semitic if they only want half of the world's Jews to die. The phrase "globalize the intifada," currently chanted at universities across America, perhaps widens the net a tiny bit. But really, who can say? Even the phrase "gas the Jews," chanted at a rally organized by NYU students and faculty, is so very ambiguous. How dare those whiny Jews presume to know what's in other people's hearts? Oh my God. So, the sordid history of the concept of anti-Zionism vividly illustrates the dynamic and is particularly relevant for success in scrambling the radar of well-meaning people. Jewish civilization has been centered for thousands of years in ways large and small on its homeland in Israel, where Jews have had a continuous presence since ancient times. The modern practical idea of Zionism as Jewish self-determination in this homeland emerged in the late 19th and early 20th centuries, amid many other anti-colonial movements around the world, as global power dynamics shifted from empires, Habsburg, Russian, Ottoman, British, French, Japanese, toward national states, nation states. The large and often violent population upheavals following Israel's creation, including the displacement of most Arabs from what became Israel and the displacement of nearly all Jews from what became Arab states, paralleled similar population upheavals around the world as new states emerged from receding empires. In this, Zionism was typical. But anti-Zionism as an explicit political concept has a history quite independent of the actions of Jews. All right, I'm going to stop here. It goes into a lot of history If you really want to understand what's going on, I highly recommend this article by Dara Horn in The Atlantic, dated February 15th. So, why the most educated people in America fall for anti-Semitic lies. All right, let's switch gears here. I did bring some music today as well. And hopefully some of it will lift our spirits. Huh. Let's do Thea Hopkins. She's a local folk artist, and she's very talented. I haven't heard of her doing much recently, but that doesn't mean she's not. She actually was a guest on the show here quite a while back. Oh, I hope this is not going to... Oh, it's not going in. Ah, why is this happening? Let's see if we can get this CD to... Now it's saying no disc. All right. Now it's not projecting the disc. Oh. Well, looks like we've lost the disc. All right, technical issues today. What can I tell you? Oh, now it's booting. All right, we'll see if it works. Okay. Well, it says it's initializing. I don't know if it is or it isn't. I'll put something else up. This is something by Rosie Ledette. Let's see what we can find here. Set My Soul on Fire. Let's try that. Thank you.
place that has a heart. Sand and stone, broken art. It has secrets no one knows. It has rooms where no one ever goes. There the fertile rivers flow. Land of slaves long ago.
and I'm drowning in this ocean of sadness and fears. I've been drowning these emotions now for too many years, but I keep on till tomorrow while I'm struggling through today. Somehow I keep hanging on, believing that help is on its way. And help is on its way. Oh yeah, on its way. I know I ain't the only one here that's drowning in this crazy world today, and I'm wondering where's the lifeguard, 'cause just too many ain't been saved. So I'm crying in the shadows, trying to smile for those who need a little shade. And there ain't no one here left to follow, so I guess a new path needs to be paved. Guess a new path needs to be paved. Oh yeah. And dreamers seem to only learn the hard way. All those wars and battles that we fought, trying to make a change, but to youth there is no reason. There ain't nothing that you can say. You just don't look back and don't rush ahead. Seek forgiveness and learn to pray. Know that help is on. Oh yes, help is on. Oh yes, help is on. On his way. Of sadness and fears, we've been drowning these emotions now for too many years, but we keep on until tomorrow while we're struggling. Yeah.
ואף על פי שיתממע עם כל זה אחכה לו בכל יום שיבוא ואף על פי שיתממע עם כל זה אחכה לו בכל יום שיבוא בכל יום עם כל זה אחכה לו בכל יום שיבוא אוי אני מאמין בכל יום עם כל זה אחכה לו בכל יום שיבוא אני מאמין דין לה לחכות means to wait but in Hebrew לחכות with a kuf means something much much deeper לחכות also means to imitate to emulate to be like so what we're really saying is im kol zeh No matter how long it's going to take until the great day comes. Achake lo means that whatever Mashiach means to me in my eyes, whatever that energy is, however I imagine it to be, I'm going to emulate it. I'm going to be a little bit of Mashiach myself in the holiest, most real way. So this new year should come in blessing us, sanctifying us, but really penetrating the taste of what it's going to be like and be a little bit of that because the world needs it so
אחכה לו בכל
Oh, that was so beautiful. Oops, what happened here? Oh, why is it doing that? That's very strange. Huh. All right. Let's see. Huh. I'm not sure why I'm getting feedback. That makes no sense. Okay, something's wrong. Let's see if this is better. Okay. I think, yeah, that's a little bit better. Okay, so we were listening to Shlomo Katz, the LLP, from his Live in Melbourne CD. Before that, Laser Lloyd, Help is on its Way. Hopefully, yes, it comes from his CD called Tomorrow Never Comes. Before that, we heard from Thea Hopkins, her song Down in Egypt, Birds of Mystery is the name of that CD, and Rosie Ledette, Set My Soul on Fire from a CD called Show Me Something. We opened up with Jimi Hendrix, Spanish Castle Magic. This CD that is new to the station has a lot of information in the liner notes. It's the Jimi Hendrix Experience Los Angeles Forum, April 26, 1969. And I was reading some liner notes by one of the members of ZZ Top. He wasn't in ZZ Top at that time, Billy F. Gibbons. And he's written this in May of May 2022. So when was this CD released? See if I can find on the back here, 2022. So there's all kinds of interesting information in the liner notes. Okay, so there's